You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 57. Fair enough, 1 through 57. Just listen, and then you can wave your flag, all right, and do anything you wanted after the fact. I just constantly waving it. But let me tell you something wonderful, a mystery I probably will never fully understand. That's interesting coming from Paul. We're not all going to die, but we all are going to be changed. Say changed. Wow. You hear a blast to end all blasts from a trumpet. And in the time that you looked up and blinked your eyes, it's over. See, the word rapture never shows up in the Bible. But we just said it. What does rapture mean? A gathering up, snatched away. Amen? Say, I'm going.
I'm going.
All the places you didn't see here on planet Earth because you didn't have the money or got too late in life, you'll be able to see them all on the way up. Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Say, it'll all be over in the blink of an eye. On the signal from the trumpet of heaven, the dead will be up and out of their graves. Amen. Say, the dead will be up and out of their graves. It happened before. When did it happen before? When Jesus said it was finished. When it was finished, when he said it was finished, suddenly the graveyard's empty. So this is a repeat performance. Going to get better now. Say, it's getting better. Going to get better. See, every time the Bible said Jesus could have called legions of angels to rescue him. Holy Ghost just said this as I waved my flag. He said, but if he had gotten rescued, then he couldn't rescue us. That's what I call real love. No greater love than any man than he laid down his life for somebody else. Well, I love Jesus and I love his word. Amen. Listen to what it says now. How many of you are getting excited over here? Glory to God. The graves will be emptied beyond the reach of death. I heard one guy said, well, do I have to get sick in order to die? No. People think that, you know. Well, when I get old and I get sickly, then I'll die. No. See, what I always do is, here's the Word of God, and one of the names of it is a mirror. There's no scripture in the Word of God that said, and when you get sick and old and you die, you go to heaven. Doesn't say that, but people believe that. That's not what the Word says. See, if you know what the Word says, you could be sitting down eating pizza or spaghetti on a Sunday afternoon or any other day of the week, which is always good, you understand it. You could be walking along on the sidewalk, you could be having a conversation with somebody, or you could go to sleep and wake up in heaven. Nobody has to die sick. Sickness is not of God. When God created the Garden of Eden and put Adam and Eve in it, he said, oh, by the way, guys, I'm going to put some sickness in there to keep you in line. And I buried people from newborns and infants and teenagers all the way up over the years. And I still hear people say, these are Christians. Well, it must have been the will of God. Really? The Word of God is the will of God. Children don't die young. It's sickness and disease or some other thing. The will of God is not to take you and I out earlier than he has planned for us. Amen. You understand that now? Amen. I don't know if you know, the people that don't want to smoke, you want to smoke e-cigarettes and all that stuff. Now that's killing people. There's no shortage of ways to kill people today. But I'm here to tell you, God wants to give you health. He wants to give you long life. Say long life. See, one of the things in the kingdom of God, remember I mentioned to you, it's a health plan. Yeah. What's the health plan? Healing. Yeah. Whatever was in the Garden of Eden is for us today. Amen. Because when God said to Adam, he said, I'm going to give you dominion. Say dominion. Dominion. Dominion and the word kingdom we're talking about are the same words, interchangeable. Yeah. So when he came down from heaven to bring this kingdom of God message to you and I on this planet, he was bringing back everything that was given to Adam and Eve. The second Adam didn't fail. The first one messed up. But I have my victory not in Adam. I have my victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, how many of you know there'll be a winner of the World Series and the Super Bowl, and every year they're going to fight out who's going to be the best? Well, I got a one-time victory. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he wins either in the home field. He doesn't have home field advantage. He can be on the visitor's parking lot, and he'll still be victorious. Glory to God. Say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. All right? See, if God gives you something to do, he'll give you what you need to get it done. Then sometimes, for instance, Paulie mentioned that building next door, the warehouse, the distribution center, we didn't have the money to do it. But then sometimes God will challenge our faith by giving us something to do without all the resources being there. That's called building your faith. Amen. Say, that's called building your faith. Building your faith. If I had a little bowl over here with two spoons in it, that's what my wife and I used to do. Go out and get a bowl of soup with two spoons and eat it. That was our lunch. We had no money. Say, had no money. Over a year, we had no money coming in. Say, no money.
No money.
Say it again, no money. But according to his riches in glory, just like the manna fell every day, there was always something on the table. Supernaturally, it showed up. Well, why did all that happen to you, Pastor? Because God was preparing us through a wilderness experience. Word wilderness means test or trial. A wilderness experience to start this church, New Testament church, in the graveyard of preachers, the Northeast, because he wanted to establish a foothold here in the great Northeast. Hallelujah. When Rodney Howard Brown came, 1989, whatever it was, a revival broke out that spread around the globe.
Amen.
It's still spreading today.
Hallelujah.
30 years ago, it started right here in this church in a little movie theater down the road.
Amen.
Say a little movie theater.
A little movie.
And the doctor would sometimes get upset with me, Pastor Paul, you're wrecking my services. What do you mean I'm wrecking your service? Him and I used to go like this all the time, and we still do. That's how friends are. Amen? So he said, you're wrecking my services. Back then, we had cassettes. He said, I can't finish the messages because this laughter breaks out, and then I can't sell them to make money because I don't finish them. That's how poor he was with his suspenders on. But it was the beginning of a revival that went around the globe, and to this day, say to this day, it's still going on.
Amen.
He is starting churches all over the world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the midst of all this, his daughter passed on with a disease. My God, they prayed for her. She lived longer than most people do. But he said, listen, he called me up on Christmas Eve. I'll never forget it. And he says, my beautiful daughter has passed away. He talked for over an hour on the phone and just bore his heart. And he said, she's going to win more people to Christ now than she ever has before. And do you know that's how the revival started in New York City when he read in Madison Square Garden out? The Lord said, you're gonna win millions of souls. Listen, 30 some years, those messages are still going around the globe and people are still getting saved by the power of God. Say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, glory to God. Say, glory to God. Say, I want everything God has for me. Go like this, get your arms ready. I want everything God has for me. All right, here we go now. Let me finish this off. At the same moment, in the same way, we'll all be changed. Listen now. In the resurrection scheme of things, this has to happen. Everything perishable taken off the shelves and replaced by the imperishable. Now, here's a scripture verse we all know. Death swallowed up by triumphant life. Say death. If somebody passes on, are they dead?
No.
No, because we're spirit. Say, we're spirit.
Spirit.
When Adam was created by God on the ground by the dust of the earth, he breathed into him the breath of life. So this flesh and blood is not life. What's life is the spirit. Say, the spirit.
Spirit.
We take care of our physical body, or we should, by what we eat, exercise, and all that. But there also is a spirit man. Say, a spirit man.
Spirit.
That needs to be tended to. That needs to be fed. The word of God. Amen? I talk to people all the time. Gee, I haven't seen you in a long time. Well, it's been very busy. I haven't been able to get to church. But I know I need to get there. No, I know I need to, which means you should. But, and I'll get to it maybe today, the prioritizing of our time.
Amen.
Say prioritizing our time. What does that mean? Making God and our spirit man to be fed by the word of God a priority. Say a priority.
Priority.
If a doctor gives you a script, and pharmacy fills it out and the bottle has all kinds of directions, am I right? The doctor doesn't call you up and come knock on your door and say, are you taking the script? He's expecting you and I to take the script according so we can get better. Amen. Don't expect God to come knocking on our door on Monday morning and say, what's going on? Because he's relying on you and I to be dependent on the Holy Spirit to be our helper and help us through the difficult things in life. Amen. Say, glory to God. Say, glory to God. Come on, fill the atmosphere with your praise. Say, glory. 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 Hallelujah. Well, I'm having fun. Death swallowed up by a triumphant life. What's the triumphant life? Jesus Christ. Kick death. I understand. There's a little song I heard played once. God did it all in 3 days. Amen. Think about that. 3 days. He died, went to a grave, and while he was in the grave, the Bible says he was in hell preaching to the captives. Amen. They were waiting for him. They waved the flag. He's here. Amen. He's here. Hallelujah. Jesus, he's here. Yes. And all the demon imps are saying, put that flag down. They picked them up again and start waving them. See, that's what happened in the book of Acts. You can no longer speak in the name of Jesus. Why is everybody afraid of the name of Jesus? Because there's power in that name. Say, there's power in that name. There's power. So what did they do? They got together and had a prayer meeting. Raised up the name of Jesus, and the Holy Ghost came in. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. I don't know if you remember this a few years ago. I didn't even preach the message yet. A few years ago, but down in, I think it was Houston, I forget what city it was, but the mayor of the city, I think it was, said, we want to see all the messages that the preachers are preaching Sunday so we can okay them. Don't you think they're trying to shut the church down? Oh, yes, they are, but they won't shut a church down full of the Holy Ghost and power, because what happened to those guards outside the tomb, oh, my God, they began to fall under the power of, my God, have mercy. Say, death, you got nothing on me. Death is dead. The Bible says people through the fear of death, die prematurely. Are you afraid to die? No. Of course not. Because you never die, you just graduate to a different level called heaven. Amen. I've had a couple of people, Pastor, are you ever like where you come from, you know, your ancestry, your background, like what part of Italy you may be from, the boot, the heel, I go, I already checked out my ancestry. I was born in heaven, I'm going back. Amen. What do I care where I come from here on the planet for? Amen. All temporary. How many ever go on a trip? Take your suitcase with you. Put it out, take your clothes out, hang them up if you don't want to. The next day if you leave, what do? Pack it up. That's what we're like. This is transient. Amen. We're not sticking around here. Amen. We're not sticking around here. Right. Everything here on planet Earth is going to perish and be burned up. Say, glory to God. Glory to God. Say, glory to God. Glory to God. Death, you're dead. Right there with your microphone. Tell them about the pastor whose wife had the brain tumor. Tell them, this is how somebody talks who's a born-again believer full of faith.
His name is Mark Hankins. You can look him up. I've never seen one thing he preached that wasn't awesome. His wife was dying with a terminal brain tumor, and he talked about how it went from bad to worse in the hospital. And he said that the Lord told him to laugh. He said, Mark, just laugh. I got it. You're covered. She's healed. And he said he just began to sit there and laugh, and he said, just keep on speaking the word, Mark. Keep on speaking the word. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Just keep on speaking the word. Just keep on saying it is written. He said, I sat. Just continued to speak the word. They came out with a worse report, He said, the Lord said, just laugh. It's already done.
Amen.
It's finished. I did it for you.
Hallelujah.
She's already healed. We're not working on something and begging God for it. Jesus already did it. It was paid for in full. He took his blood to heaven. Mark, he paid the price for your wife's healing. He paid the price for your salvation. He paid the price for us. He said, just laugh, not laugh at because she's suffering, but laugh knowing the devil's a liar. Hallelujah. He said, just say, ha, ha, ho, ho, ha, 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 ha. He said, I sat there. People thought I was an idiot. He said, I'd rather be an idiot and see my wife live than be a fool and see my wife die. And he said, I sat there and obeyed God's instruction, and I just kept saying, it's all done, Lord, you've done it. It's all done, Lord, you've done it. It's all done, Lord, ha, ha, you can't have her cancer, you can't have her tumor. He said she went in, they took her in for surgery, they removed what they had to remove, came out, worst prognosis, she's not going to make it. She's going to be paralyzed if she lives. The Lord said to him, Mark, I've got it, just claim my word, speak my word. Come on, church, that's who we are. He said, the Lord said to him, your address is your words. I want to send you things. But if you're not speaking the word of God, don't wonder why the package is not coming. Speak the word of God. He said, he sat there and just kept saying, ha, 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 ha. I went to the hospital every day, day after day. His wife is healthy. She's whole. She's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. She's beautiful. She looks like nothing was ever wrong. Come on, it works. Hallelujah. It's finished. He did it all. Glory to God.
God's word is forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
Say, it's already settled. Your son and your grandchildren were in a car accident the other day. I saw some of the pictures. It could have been much worse than that.
Hedge of protection around about them.
Hedge of protection all around them. When I saw your little grandchild with those black and blues around his neck because he was in the car seat. My God, get information like that. But I know what this couple will do. I've known them for a long, long time, 30 plus years. They began to speak the name of Jesus. They began to speak protection like they do every day over their children, over their grandchildren. Are you listening to me? Amen. They had to cut them out. Am I right? With the jaws of life? That's pretty serious stuff. But God, say God, is in control. God is in charge. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've had to pray with people that are terminally ill in their bed, and everybody's gathered around talking about who's going to get this and who's going to get that, and they're all sitting there, and I've thrown them out more than once. I said, do me a favor, just leave the room. There's no faith in here to raise a thumbtack off the ground. Amen? Just leave for a minute. Let me pray for this man. Are you listening to me? God raises people up like that. But in the midst of all that negativity, well, they told us he has just a little bit of time. My father was said that he had 12 hours to live. He was gone. His liver functions were gone. His kidney functions were gone. The only thing kept him going was his heart. They said he's got less than 12 hours to live. I'll never forget it because we applied the principles of the kingdom. Are you listening to me? Death was knocking on the door. Say, death was knocking on the door. Say, death was knocking on the door. But God gave us the scripture verses. My wife and I, my mom, prayed in his room. He shall live and not die. He shall live and not die. And my God, say, he shall live and not die. She'll live and not die. We prayed, I don't know for how long. I don't need my wife even know. We just prayed. And then all of a sudden, peace filled the room. I said, we're leaving now. God's got this thing in his control. The next morning when we came in, I was out in front. My mom never walked fast anyway. Amen. That's where the tomatoes got the slope run. And my wife was with her behind me. And I got to the room, and I'll never forget this. My eyeballs still see it. When I looked into the room, the bed was empty. It was turned down as if somebody was vacated the room.
Hallelujah.
So what's the first thing that flooded my mind and hit me on all sides? He's dead. He's dead. There is no victory. He is dead. And all these things started hitting me, saying, your God doesn't do what he says he does. The word is a liar. It's not true. And all of a sudden, I heard a rustling in the corner. So I looked over, and I thought it was somebody cleaning the room. Here's my dad sitting up in a chair eating breakfast.
Yes.
Man said he was supposed to be dead, but God had other ideas. Dead? No, he's alive.
Amen.
Dead? No, he's still going.
Hallelujah.
And I'll never forget in the old movie theater, We played, Carmen's song back then was very popular. It was called Lazarus Come Forth.
Amen.
We start playing it. He started walking down the aisle.
Hallelujah.
We didn't need any flags then. People would just run along on my dad, jumping over the seats and everything else. Say he's alive. Say he's alive. Say he's alive. Devil, you're a liar. Death, you have no power over any believers in the kingdom of God. Nothing. Say nothing. Say nothing. I haven't even finished this verse yet. Are you still there? I promise to get you home today. Who got the last word, oh death? Question mark. Can you imagine what hell must have been like when they had Jesus down there locked up? What's he doing? He's preaching. Something about a kingdom. Well, that's not going to do him any good down here. We got everybody wrapped up. And the devil gets a little worried, so he calls death up. He says, hey, death, do we still have that Jew? He says, oh, yeah, he's got him locked up. He ain't going nowhere. Then when Jesus stopped preaching to the captives, on the way out, he said, oh, by the way, death, since you're letting go of me, you can let go of them too. Because I'm now being raised from the dead, and I'm not coming back. Say, I'm not coming back. I don't know how many years ago I preached about the resurrection, and when they walked into the tomb, they saw a napkin folded. Say, folded.
I
don't know about you, but I get out of bed in the morning. I'm not putting my covers over, amen. I'm going to get back in the next day, amen. The folded napkin represented this. That person, if they were visiting your house, were never coming back again. When Jesus had the napkin folded, I wonder if he was talking to the angels in the tomb. I wonder if they had a conversation sitting there in that cold tomb saying, do you want to fold the napkin? Do you think they'll get what it really, I don't know. No, you go ahead. No, you, well, let's choose. Amen. I don't know how they do it today. The folded napkin represented this. Jesus was never coming back this way again. My God, he's not coming back this way again. So when he left hell, he pulled out his flag and said, oh, by the way, devil, give me the keys of death, hell, and the grave. They no longer belong to you. They belong to me. And if they belong to Jesus, who do they belong to? They belong to you, and they belong to me. Glory to God. Say, glory to God. Who's facing a situation, and it looks like it's not going to be a good outcome? Raise your hand. You have a flag, honey? Give it to her. I already have the victory. See, and what happens is our mind starts getting away from us. Who wants to be Sunday here? Good, Joe. You stand over here, you're Sunday. Who wants to be Saturday? Jesus said, don't worry. So if Sunday, go like this, Joey, he looks over here at Saturday because there's something big coming up, he's wasted all that time worrying about the end results of what's going to happen on Saturday.
Right.
Stay where you are. Live in the precious moment you're in and just begin to say what the Word says about you.
Yes.
When Jesus told Peter, I'm going to give you the keys, guess what the keys are?
The Word.
It's the Word. So what we do is we speak to what may happen on Saturday, and we apply the Word on a daily basis, because as your day is, say, as my day is, so shall your strength be. If we're looking from Sunday to Saturday, what's going to happen to our strength? It's going to be gone. Then we won't have strength for the next day, and that'll affect everything all the way until we get over to here. Last week, I think I mentioned when God told, thank you guys very much. God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you this son. Remember that? How old was he? Say old. How old was his wife? Old. Thank you very much. They were both old. And Abraham was waiting for the promise of the father. Took 25 years to happen. See, what happens is when we're waiting for something in the Word that God's given to us, we don't want to wait too long. And we try to move the thing along. How many of you saw the harvest moon this weekend? Won't happen until the year 2049. The moon, and I saw it last night again, the moon doesn't need my help to reflect the sun. God doesn't need my help or your help to get done what he's already promised us. Amen. See, the keys represent scripture, and every scripture has already been promised, which means, say this with me out loud, it's already done. But then Sarah said to Abraham, because she got tired of waiting, maybe you should sleep with my handmaiden. Now listen to me. I said this last week, but it's back in my spirit. Too many times, the believer goes ahead of God and mess things up. Because what happened? He had a relationship with the handmaiden, am I right? Gave birth to Ishmael. And do you realize that the conflict between the Jew and the Arab all comes from somebody going ahead of God?
Amen.
How many times have you and I gone ahead of God? And you know what comes? Mess. And if you have a mess, you know what you have to do? Clean it up. Honey, what's your first name? Don't go ahead of this very moment you're here. Don't run ahead of it. God's already got it worked out for you. He's already got it worked out for you, honey. Look at me. It's already got it worked out. It's already done.
Hallelujah.
Don't be impatient, but take the word of God, apply scriptures to whatever it is, and he is at the finish line waiting for you. Glory to God. Say glory to God. Say glory to God. It's already done. Say it's already done. Not by me, but by him.
Hallelujah.
All I got to do is tap on it.
Amen.
How many of you have a faucet home? You have hot and cold water. You know which one to turn on, right? There are all kinds of ways you have mixing. But when you turn it on and put a demand on the faucet, what happens? You ask God, that puts a demand on what his scripture and what his word already says. I'm telling you, this is another way of saying, this is my answer book. Hang on now. Every answer I need in life is right here. So if every answer is right here, why would I go somewhere else and get another answer? But we do. We go ahead of God because we're tired of waiting. I'm going to repeat something I said last week also. God is eternal. Say this with me. God is eternal. He created Adam and Eve were both eternal. But then when Adam messed up because of disobedience and Eve, then he had to create something called time. Time. Why? So he could redeem us by sending his only begotten son to planet Earth to die on the cross of Calvary. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Time is an interruption into eternity, but he's an eternal being. So when God says a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, God's not affected by time. But we get impatient because of our sense realm to help God along. Leave it alone. Say it out loud to your neighbor. Leave it alone. God's already been there. He's already taken care of it for you in Jesus' name. Fair enough? Listen to this now. Who got the last word, O death? O death, who's afraid of you now? ? Say, who's afraid of you now? Say it out loud.
Who's afraid of you now?
Death has no hold. Why? Because the promises in the word say it's over for him.
Amen.
Say it's over for him. Say it's over for him. All right, here's the rest of that, if you don't mind. It was sin that made death so frightening, and the law code guilt that gave sin its leverage. So guilt gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. Now, here we go now. Get ready with your flag. But now, say now. The Bible says in Hebrews that faith is what? Say now. Faith is?
Now.
Say faith is?
Now.
Not later. It's right now. Listen. But now in a single victorious stroke of life, all three things, sin, guilt, and death are gone. They're gone. Say they're gone. In a single victorious stroke, he said it was finished. Sin no longer has a hold on you and I. Go like this. No more guilt, no more sin, no more death. The gift of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, still reigns today like it did then. Say, it still reigns today like it did then. Say, it still reigns today like it did then. Say, hallelujah. Come on, give him a hand clap offering. Hallelujah. That was just the checkered flag. I even wrote the scripture verse on my checkered flag. If you don't mind, turn over to John 18 real quick. Listen, you'll never go away hungry at this church. My wife and I once kept driving by this restaurant. It was very intriguing, and we finally went one day to eat there. It was the biggest disappointment of our life. There is no disappointments in the Word. Amen. Now look at John chapter 18, verses 33b and then 36 and 38. Are you ready? This is powerful. This is what Pilate was asking Jesus. Glory to God. When Jesus came preaching, remember this, did he ever preach one message on healing? No, he did not. How many prayers did he pray? He didn't pray any except to the Father. When he needed a little bit of encouragement at Lazarus' tomb was one of the places. So he never prayed for people. Oh my God, all the religious people just fell over in their chairs. Pastor, could you preach? No, I'm just going to claim the word over your life. Jesus didn't pray for people. He preached the kingdom. When he taught his disciples, he preached about the kingdom. So in the kingdom, say in the kingdom, is all healing. So he didn't preach a message on the healing, did he? Did he preach a prosperity message ever? He did, but he never called it prosperity and wrote 12 books. You realize Jesus didn't write a book. His life was an open book. Your life and my life is an open book. That's what Paul says. We're living epistles, letters, read of men everywhere. Of course, you'd have to change it today. You and I are living emails, all right? Glory to God, hallelujah. He never preached on prosperity because he said what prosperity was. What's prosperity? So, you had an opportunity this morning to do what? Put in to an offering monies to buy something for a missionary we support to get the gospel out. So what if you put $1 in? That $1 multiplies and becomes souls, one for the kingdom of God. It just explodes like that. So he talked about prosperity when he talked about sowing and reaping. The more you give, it says what? The more comes back to you. Well, I can't afford to give. You can't afford not to give, honey. First time I heard about putting 10% of your income into the kingdom of God, I laughed. I was like Sarah, I laughed in my heart. Ha, ha, ha. God, you know what I'm making? Yeah, he knows what I was making. He said, just give me an opportunity. And I put a dollar in. Now I put in much more than my wife and I make. How did that happen? I tested God with a little seed. Because he knew my heart was pure. I wanted to know more about God, and so did my wife. But I was looking at a paycheck. But remember what I said last week? When you say out of your mouth and I say out of my mouth, I'm on a fixed income that shuts down the harvest that God wants to give you and I. How's that work, Pastor? Well, you don't have enough money to buy your groceries and you're going down the aisle and you find a coupon and everything that you needed that somebody left for you. Every times I've walked into a place and they've said, don't worry about it, Rev, it's on us. Hallelujah. Listen, my wife and I know what it is to have nothing, literally. My father didn't make a lot of money. Her dad was a shoemaker, didn't make a lot of money. We both came out of a life where there wasn't much, but there was always food on the table.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. God never let us down. Amen. Say, he never let us down. Amen. He never let us down. Amen. And one day I stopped looking at my paycheck and realized God was bigger than my paycheck. Amen. What was holding me back was my mouth.
Amen.
Faith comes by. Well, if you're hearing something, somebody's got to be saying something.
Amen.
What I like to do is say what the word says so I can hear myself say the word.
Amen.
And if I don't see it in the natural, if I keep, my God, the woman with the issue of blood, and she kept saying, and she kept saying, and she kept saying, and she kept saying, and then she finally, what was she saying? If I could get to him and not even touch him, just what he's wearing. And when she did, Jesus stopped with thousands of people around him and said, who? Go like that. Who?
Who?
Touched me.
Touch me.
See, victory's on the way. And what did his trustworthy disciples that he was teaching about the wonderful kingdom of God say? Oh, you've been in the sun too long, Jesus. Oh, no, 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 no. We got to get you one of them sombreros. Got to get you one of those, the hats that reflect the sun. Get you a pair of sunglasses and make sure, hello, you got enough tanning on your, so you get a nice tan. They didn't get it. Today, there are people today that just don't get it. He was building inside of them the message of the kingdom, the message of faith wanted to. What do you mean, who touched you? Look at all these people around you. No, I know when somebody touches me. I can tell you when I lay hands on people, my wife will tell you the same thing. We pray for some people, and it's like whatever we're praying bounces right back at us. Other people I get near, my wife will get near, I'm sure the kids same way, and the power of God, just the anointing leaves me before we even go near anybody. Hallelujah. Power of God just, because their receiver is working. Their receiver is working, glory to God. Here's Pilate saying, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. What's not of this world? The kingdom that he's been talking about is not of this world. Say, it's not of this world. See, because we live in the United States and our culture and everything, we're up in a government, a democracy, that we elect somebody to be in charge. Am I right? Local level all the way through. Fair enough? But a king is not elected. A king is born. See, we don't get that concept because we live in a democracy. Well, we'll vote this person in and this person out. No, you can't do that in the kingdom of God. Jesus was born to be a king. Listen to what he says here, then we'll go home. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews, but now my kingdom is from another place. You know the Bible calls you and I aliens? Aliens are people that don't belong. Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't look like an alien. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, I like when Jesus answers, don't you? You're right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. For this reason I was born. Say, it's going to get better. For this reason I came into the world. Listen, I was born for this reason, and I also came into the world. Listen, to testify of the truth. What does Jesus represent? Truth. Say, he's the way, the truth, and the life. I think I told Wednesday's crowd, I had to go to the doctor, and we were talking about 9/11, terrible, tragic day in the world, in this country. And my doctor, she's very sweetheart. She said, you know what? The world from that day on has never been the same. I said, but that's not true, doc. What do you mean? The Bible says Jesus said he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say, Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and for, say forever. Say forever. Say it again, forever. Listen, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. How many of you and I are on the side of Christ? Then we have to start listening to what he says about this kingdom of God. Say the kingdom of God. Say it again, the kingdom of God. Go back, if you don't mind, to Matthew 6:33. This is just for a little review. Can I do that? Yes. Say, seek first the kingdom of God. So let's go, just go back for a couple of minutes. What does the word seek mean? If you didn't write it down last week, do it this week. First of all, the word seek means to pursue something. Say, pursue something. So what's Jesus saying? Pursue what? The word, the kingdom of God. Here's another one now. To study. Whew. The word study means devotion of time and attention to acquiring knowledge. My heart, and in my wife's heart, is so fertile that when we hear something about the word or read the word, something begins to grow right away. Because the ground of our heart is already turned over to receive the seed of the word. That'll preach. Well, that'll preach. Oh, wow. I preached that before. It doesn't sound like that. That'll preach because our ground, say the ground of our heart is prepared. Listen to the word. It's another word. The word seek literally means this, to explore. Say explore. A person who explores an unfamiliar area. See, sometimes we can get a little religious and we like to stay in the confines of what we know and not get spread out too thin. You can't spread out too thin with the word. The word will always hold you up. That's something the world talks about. I hate when people say, well, I say to them, how you doing? Oh, pretty good, you know. No, don't be pretty good. How are you doing? I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing fantastic. Glory to God. Why? Because the word tells me I already am. I may not have gotten to that corner on the block, But I got news for you. On any corner of any block, I find Jesus right around the corner waiting for me. Glory to God. Here's another one for you. The word seek means this, to understand. Say understand. It means to perceive the intended meaning of the words. I love to study words. Say words. Say words. If you study the word faith, it was absolutely incredible. All that comes with the word faith. When you study the word healing, what comes with the word healing? Any word that you find in the word, when you begin to study it out, it becomes an explosive item in your life and my life. Fair enough? The word seek means to understand. Now listen, it means to perceive the intended meaning. In other words, we have to understand it in order to go forward in the kingdom of God. Amen? Here's the last one. Glory to God. How many of you are getting something?
Amen.
It means this. It means to consider. Learn it and consider. The word learn means to gain skill in something. We need to gain skill in the precious word of God so when we run into problems, we run into storms, we are prepared to say and do what's necessary. And I'll preach about it in the future, but Jesus talked about when you build a house, he wasn't talking about a regular building, talking about our life. First thing you got to do is what? Build a good foundation. How many of you know you can look around? Look around at somebody right now. You can't really tell what's going on, am I right? But when storms come their way or your way or my way, we can tell what kind of a foundation because we're not saying what everybody else is saying. We're saying what the Word of God says out of our mouth.
Amen.
Understanding will come. Amen. Glory to God. I've said things out of my mouth and I say, what did I say that for? Because the Holy Ghost said to say it. And then it shows up as you move along. Say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Here's the last one now. My. Consider. It means think carefully about something before making a decision. I think that's you. Am I right about a decision you have to make? Considering your future? And you're struggling. What if I told you the Lord Jesus Christ already has your future in his hands?
Hallelujah.
You can't vacillate between two decisions. Can I give you a scripture to end the service? Everybody's going to listen. This is for you. Isn't this wonderful? You came to church and this is just for you.
Glory.
Everybody is, well, oh yeah. Listen, this wasn't meant to be at half mass. Half mass means somebody died. Woo! Jesus isn't dead. Go over to James real quick. This is going to be the answer you came here looking for today. Isn't this wonderful? Glory to God. Go over to the book of James. This is right where you are, honey, and this is not just you, but people sitting in here are in the same place. Sometimes it happens daily. Sometimes it happens over a period of time. Listen to what it says in James. I call James practical James. Say practical. First chapter. Look at verse 5. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. You can have knowledge, but now you need wisdom as to, if you have knowledge, you have $1,000. Now you need wisdom as to what to do with it. Maybe you need to put it away. Maybe you need to sow it somewhere after you give God his 10, of course. Maybe you need to give it. Maybe you just hang on to it. Fair enough?
Amen.
When we came into $100,000 in this church, never happened again, we held on to it. And then when Rodney came through about his meetings in New York City, the Lord said, release the $100,000 to him. So we released it. Guess what? Souls are still being won because of what's been released by you. Amen? Somebody gave us that money. Glory to God. Are you ready? Huh. If you're deficient in wisdom, let him ask. So if you don't have wisdom, what should you do? Who do you ask? Don't ask mommy. Don't ask daddy. Don't ask your wife or ask your husband or anybody else. Ask God. Say God. Here's why we ask God. Anybody deficient? God who gives to everyone liberally, ungrudgingly, without approaching, reproaching, or fault-finding, it'll be given him. Now, where does it come from when we ask it from God? It comes from above. That means nobody's tainted it with their words. Nobody's touched this thing. Look at verse 6. Only it must be in faith. Oh, boy, we can't get away from this word faith, huh? Say in faith. How do we ask? We ask in faith that he ask with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For everyone who wavers and hesitates, wow, and doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown back and forth. tossed by the wind. Look at verse 7. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. Oh boy, here comes the icing. For being as he is, a man with two minds. That's called vacillating. Two minds, hesitating. Here's what's going to happen to somebody who's double-minded. Unstable, say unstable. Unreliable, uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. So when God gives you an answer in his word, don't go back to somebody else for something better or something that you want to hear. God already has your answer for you. And what happens is, when we get into this thing back and forth between our reasoning, our five sense realm, this person did it, it looks good. Listen to me. God has a place. And when you find peace in his word, the double-mindedness leaves. Never go to man for answers. Well, she's got her flag up now. Put it up. It's the half mast. Go like, there you go, a little higher, a little higher. Don't vacillate between two decisions. That's what Abraham did. He vacillated between what his wife said and what God said. And waiting for God took longer. It may take longer with God because he's not confined by time, but I'd rather wait longer for God than to get a quick answer and run around and to say, oh, I'm out of gas. Now what do I do? You'll never run out of fuel. You'll never run out of peace with God. God's going to give you a supernatural peace on the inside of you. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day you've made. We're rejoicing. We are happy and we are glad in it. That message wasn't just for her. It's for everybody listening around the globe. Don't make decisions based on feelings. Don't make a decision based on what I think. Make a decision based on the word of God. The Bible says that God's word never comes back empty or void. If his word never comes back empty or void, the words of men, our sense realm, will come back empty. But there's an answer. It's called the Bible. It's called the word of God. He's got our future under his control. The Bible says he already has a plan laid out for us. All we've got to do is follow the map. All we've got to do is put our GPS on, God's positioning spirit, and follow the Holy Ghost. If you've been watching or listening somewhere around the globe and you'd like to ask Jesus Christ into your life, this Jesus we've been talking about, this kingdom that we've been talking about, I want you to say this prayer. Harvest, let's all stand right where you are. Stand right where you are. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Jesus, this day I realize that I need a change. Today I surrender my life to you, thanking you for saving me, dying on Calvary's hill so I could be free. You shed your blood for me because you loved me. Today I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Well, Pastor, where do I go from here? Find yourself, if you're not going somewhere, find a good church that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Check it out on the internet. I'm telling you, there's one out there. If you're going to one that's kind of like dead, like that lady last week said in the parking lot, I'd like to come. Is it a lively church? Yeah, it is. People don't want something that's dead. Dead things don't move. But Jesus raised the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Find a good church you could be involved in. Amen.